I'd like to call your attention this evening to Luke chapter 15 and beginning in verse 25. Now, his eldest son was in the field. This is the parable of the prodigal son. We call it the parable of the prodigal son, but both sons were not thinking as they should. Now, his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to his house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed a fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid." That's a small goat, "that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." That's the latter part of the parable. And the reason Jesus taught this parable, and by the way, the parable has three stories in it. The first parable is about a woman who had 10 coins and she lost one of them. Or it's about the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one of the sheep was lost. And he went out and found it and brought it back. And the second story is about a widow who had 10 coins and she lost one and she swept the house and looked for it until she found it. And the third story is about the father and his two sons. And what led up to this parable is recorded for us in Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Why would Jesus tell this parable? What is the meaning of it? Well, let's notice in Luke chapter 15 and verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now the publicans were Jewish people who had sided with Rome and had started collecting taxes for Caesar. And if the publican could raise a lot of taxes, he got a percentage of it. So the Jewish people hated the publicans, the tax collectors. But Jesus loved them. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." There was something about Jesus that would draw sinners to him. They felt safe in his presence. They felt something that was wonderful. And they came to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now that's the setting for the parable. The publicans and sinners are coming to hear Jesus and they're gladly received. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmur. They're high-minded, arrogant, better than you kind of people. And they're looking down on the publicans and the sinners, and they're looking down on Jesus because he will spend time with them. And so Jesus tells this parable. Now, about the shepherd and the sheep. The sheep was lost. And even though the shepherd had a 99 sheep safe in the fold, there was one missing, and that one sheep was loved and cared for by the shepherd. And I think that teaches us how much God loves us and cares for us, even though we might be straying away. The widow had 10 coins, and one of them was lost. Now she had 9 found in her purse, but one of them was missing. That little coin was very valuable to her. And I think Jesus is showing us that you and I are valuable to our Heavenly Father. How many of y'all feel like you're valuable to Him tonight? I tried to tell you today how much He loves you. He gave His Son to die for you. That ought to tell us a lot. How many of y'all would give one of your children for somebody? Do you value anybody that much? No. But God valued you. And I know that blows our mind. When we look at ourselves, when I look at myself and think, I'm just a poor, wretched sinner. What is there in me that would cause God to value me? I'll tell you what it is. It's His love for me. That's what makes me valuable. He loves me. And He wants me to be with Him in heaven, and He was willing to do whatever it took to get me there. Now, we come to the third story. The story of the prodigal son who comes to his daddy and says, Daddy, give me my portion of the inheritance. And the father did. And after a few days, he went away and spent it in riotous living. But finally, he comes to him to his senses. And after his money is gone and his stomach is empty and he's hungry, he comes to himself and says, I'm going home and I'm going to tell my dad, Dad, I don't deserve to be a son. Don't call me a son. Just make me a servant. And you know, that's interesting, isn't it? When he left, he said, give me. When he comes back, he says, make me. Which stage are y'all in tonight? Are y'all still in the give me, give me, give me stage? Just wanting God to give you, give you, give you? Or are you at the stage where you're saying to God, God, make me to be a servant in your kingdom? Where are we in that spectrum? Well, anyway, when the son comes back, And the elder brother is in the field and he's working and he hears what is going on and he comes and he asks one of the servants, what is going on? And he said, well, your brother that left has come back and your daddy is so happy. There's music, there's dancing. He killed the fatted calf. The fatted calf was a calf that was put in a stall and fed special for a special occasion. And the father felt like this was the most special occasion of all. And he had the fatted calf killed. Now you would think that his older brother would be rejoicing. His brother, his blood brother, had come back home. You would think the older brother would be very happy about this. Really, the older brother ought to be full of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that he's got a wonderful father. Thankful that he's got a house to live in. Thankful that he can work. He was in the field. He ought to be thankful for sunshine and for rain. He ought to be thankful for all of these things. He should be giving thanks to God and rejoicing that his brother has come back home. But rather than that, he is bitter and he's angry and he's jealous. I want to ask everybody in the house tonight, do y'all think it's better for us to praise God than to complain and murmur? I see a few heads nodding. Y'all think it's better for us to just go around praising God? While we were singing tonight, it occurred to me, worship, praise and worship drives the enemy away. It makes the devil sick for you and me to get here tonight and sing the touch of his gentle hand. Are y'all with me? See, Satan doesn't like for us to be here tonight. He certainly doesn't want us praying. He doesn't want us listening to the Holy Scriptures. He doesn't want me to be blessed to preach. He doesn't want you to get it. No, Satan wants you to murmur and complain instead of giving thanks. And that's where this elder brother was. Sad. You know, beloved, we ought to be giving thanks tonight for the rain, for the sunshine. We ought to be thanking God for our houses, our cars, our clothes. If y'all made a list of all the things that you ought to be thankful for, how long do you reckon it would take you to write down on that paper everything you've got to be thankful for? You're going to have to keep on writing because every breath of air you take is a blessing from the Almighty. How many of y'all ever think about that? That every breath of air you take is a gift from God. How many of y'all are paying for the oxygen that you breathe in every day? Does God send you a bill? No. How about the sunshine? How about the rain? I said to one man today after I got to church, I said, you know, that rain reminded me of an expression I used to hear when I was young. And there'd be people had planted their crops and there'd be a dry spell. And then there'd come a wonderful, gentle rain. And somebody would say, that's $1 million rain. Y'all ever heard that? And the brother today said, well, today, Brother Sam, it'd be $1 million rain. There are the crops. They're planted. They're begging for water. And God sends it. And we praise him and thank him for it. We ought to be thanking God for our neighbors. Nelt and I are blessed down in Cochrane with some wonderful neighbors. One of them brought us food when Franklin was staying with us after his surgery. One day the water was out in Cochrane and she brought us 3 gallons of water. Just a wonderful neighbor. We've got neighbors that, they just do so much for us. And I thank God for good neighbors. Do y'all know what a blessing it is to have good neighbors? To live in a safe neighborhood? How many of y'all are thankful for your siblings? And just say, thank you, Father, for my brothers. And thank you for my sisters. How many of y'all do that? Come on now. It took me a while. You know, being the youngest of 15, I felt like I had 14 mamas and daddies always telling me what to do. How many of y'all love to have somebody just tell you what to do? Find fault with what you're doing and criticize. How many of y'all love that? How many of y'all like to be driving and somebody in the back seat just always telling you how to drive? Y'all love that? I heard one man talking about it and he said, and the man he was talking to said, I never hear any complaints from my back seat drivers. I never hear a thing from the back. He said, what do you drive? He says, a hearse. But I'm telling you, most of us don't like to be told what to do. And a little kid doesn't like for older brothers and sisters always telling them what to do, trying to be their mama or their daddy. But let me tell you, as I grew older, I found out my siblings were a great blessing. And I thank God for the ones that I grew up with in the same house with. How many of y'all ever thank God for... For your parents? You know, the Bible says we're to honor our father and our mother. Instead of finding fault with them and criticizing them, let's just thank God for our moms and dads. None of them were perfect, but let me tell you, they're a blessing. And we ought to be praising and thanking God for all of his bountiful blessings on us in this life. And this elder brother, who is able to work. He's out in the field. He's been blessed to stay at home and enjoy his father's house. And he's, I'm sure, had plenty to eat, plenty to wear. You know, he's got friends. And he ought to be rejoicing that his younger brother has come to his senses and come back home. But no, he's not. He's jealous. He's angry. And he says, and his daddy goes out to speak to him. And he said, "Daddy, all these years I have obeyed you." Now that's a lie. How many of y'all know that was a lie? The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is there anybody in this house tonight who feels like you have always obeyed God? That you're a little angel dipped in sugar? How many of y'all feel like y'all have really been rising to the occasion? The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of what? The glory of... We've missed the mark. Years ago when I was living in Statesboro, Brother James Dill and I were renting an apartment from a lady who later joined Bethlehem. Her name was Ola Roberts. And one day she invited us over for a meal and she asked me to say the blessing. And I said, "Lord in heaven, please forgive us for our sins and shortcomings." And she said, "Brother Sam, I like that term, shortcomings. That sounds a lot better than sin." But you see, a shortcoming is sin. You missed the mark. How many in the house tonight are sinners? How many of y'all can say with the elder brother, "I've always obeyed you"? If you're in that condition, you really need to be here tonight. And you need to be reading your Bible. I pray that God will help all of us to see our own sins instead of the sins of everybody else. You know, the Apostle Paul, bless his memory, he said this. Let's look over in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He said to the Corinthians, he said, "I am the least of all the apostles." That's a very humble statement for our beloved apostle to make, who wrote 14 books that are in this book, in the New Testament. He gave his life to Jesus Christ, but he said, "I am the least of all the apostles." But later on, when he wrote the Ephesians, in chapter 3 of Ephesians, he said, "I am the least of all the saints." Do y'all remember that? That's a very humble statement. Of all the saints, I'm the least. But he's still a saint. But before he died, not long before he died, he writes a young preacher by the name of Timothy. And he said, "This is a faithful saying, Timothy, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Do y'all see what's happening in that man's mind? He's seeing his own sins more and more and more. And you know what happened? His love for Jesus began to grow. You remember, let's turn over to Luke chapter 7 tonight and look here at a story in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears, tears of sorrow, tears of repentance, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. If Jesus was here tonight, how many of y'all would want to do that? I believe I would. If my Savior was here in His body tonight, I'd want to go to Him. And if I had an expensive ointment, I would want to bow and anoint Him and kiss His feet and wash them. And I believe all of you would tonight. The fact that you're here on a Sunday night tells me that y'all know how wonderful Jesus is. Well, this woman, she's doing this. And listen now, in verse 39. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying. Now listen, he's talking to himself. We all talk to ourselves. When you talk to yourself, try to make good sense and try to speak the truth. But he's saying within himself, quietly, he's sitting there, and he says within himself, this man, about Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now he's saying in his mind, if Jesus was a prophet, he wouldn't let that wicked woman touch him, that sinner, that woman of the street. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Jesus is about to show Simon he is a prophet because he knows exactly what Simon is thinking. And how many of us tonight know that God knows every thought that goes through our mind? How many of y'all tonight would volunteer for every thought that you have to be posted up here on a screen for everybody to see? I wouldn't. But I want to tell you, I don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking a lot of the times. That's good. That's the way God fixed it. But God knows every thought that goes through our mind. Did you know that? He knows exactly what that Pharisee is thinking, Simon. Simon's sitting over there. He's proud. He's arrogant. He thinks highly of himself. And he looks down on this woman. And he says, if Jesus was a prophet, he wouldn't let her touch him. And now notice, if you will, Jesus answering said, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. And the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Now, as I understand it, a pence would have been like a day's wages. So there was one of these debtors that owed 500 days of wages and the other 50, like 50 days of wages. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Are y'all listening? Two men have been forgiven all their debts. One 500 pence, one 50 pence. Totally forgiven. No strings attached. And Jesus says to Simon, which one of them would love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, and in that culture, to kiss publicly on the cheek was an act of honor. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now you can read that and come away with the idea, well, Simon was not nearly as great a sinner as the woman was. That's what I used to think when I would read that. Well, Simon, he's a really neat guy. He hasn't sinned much. This woman is a great sinner. But I want to tell you, in the sight of God, Simon was just as great a sinner as the woman was. His pride, his arrogance, Did you know that's a great sin in the sight of the Almighty? The Bible says seven things God hates. And number one is a proud look. And let me tell you, when you and I look down on people who have fallen and they've broken their lives, we ought to be praying to God for them. Would y'all agree with that tonight? Instead of looking down on them and saying, thank you, God, I'm not like other men. You remember two men went up to pray in Luke 18, went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and spoke and prayed to himself. And he said, God, I fast twice a week. I give alms of all that I possess. Just look at me, God. Just look at me. Ain't I something? And he said, I don't do this and I don't do that. And by the way, I thank you, I'm not like this other guy over here, this publican. Y'all, are y'all getting this? Do you know what makes God sick? That kind of pride and arrogance. And the publican, what did he do? He didn't say, God, I thank you, I'm not like that Pharisee. No, he smote on his breast. And he prayed. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went down to his house justified. See, the Pharisees, they hated Jesus. They wanted to do away with him. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, just a short time before his arrest and his trial and his crucifixion, the children of Jerusalem were praising him and honoring him and worshiping him. Can you just see that in your mind tonight, the little children? And Jesus quoted from the Psalms, where he has ordained praise from the little ones. And the Pharisees and the scribes were angry. And they murmured and they were upset that the little children would praise him. If we were back there that day, which one would you want to be? Would you like to have been with the children praising him and honoring him? Or would you like to have been with the Pharisees murmuring? They hated Jesus. They said, crucify him, crucify him. Let me tell you this evening, beloved, this elder brother is in a bad attitude. And you and I can slip into that if we're not very, very careful. Satan loves it when we're prideful. You want to make the devil happy? Go around bragging, boasting, get the big head. Satan loves for you and me to be proud and arrogant and high-minded. God loves it when his little children come to him and say, Father, I love you. See, this woman, she loved Jesus. You know who in this house tonight here at Cool Springs loves him the most? The one who is more aware of their sins. And I want to tell you, we sung that song today, I Want to Love Him More. Y'all remember that, us singing that this morning? How many of y'all want to love him more? Well, I'll tell you, you just need to see yourself as you really are. And see him taking your sins and your guilt and bearing them to the cross and dying on that cross in naked shame. You know, Paul said in his letter to the Hebrews, wherefore seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Aren't you glad he finished it? That's good news, isn't it? The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus didn't enjoy the cross. He wasn't an actor up there at Calvary. He was enduring the cross, every aspect of it. He endured it. Not like some actor in Hollywood making a movie about the crucifixion. He endured the cross, despising the shame. What shame? The shame of the cross. You know, probably the most shameful thing that any of us could experience is if we were stripped naked and held out in the public for people to see us. That would be a shameful thing, wouldn't it? Well, our Savior was crucified in naked shame. And furthermore, the cross itself was shameful because the worst of criminals died on crosses. Ordinary criminals would be beheaded or stoned, but the worst of the worst were crucified. And they're making it out that Jesus is the worst of the worst. They put him between two thieves as if to say he's worse than either one of them. But he despised the shame. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And let me tell you, because of him and him enduring that shame, you and I will never be shamed. You and I are going to be robed in righteousness and taken to the Father's house in glory. We'll never, our sins will be forgotten, be put away as far as the east is from the west. And you will stand there in a glorified heaven, loved beyond measure. And the Father will welcome you. He'll say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Yes, from the worst of the sinners to glorified saints in heaven. And I want to tell you, Paul, when he said, "I'm the chief of sinners," he felt it. He understood that. I wish I could preach. You know, I say that in sincerity. When I see these things, I wish to God I had a much better gift to explain to you all. But you see, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit comes in and takes my little crumbs and blesses them to feed His children. And I hope y'all are getting it tonight. Brother Larry prayed that I would be blessed with the Spirit. You see, we need the Holy Spirit in church. I'm not up here talking about growing cotton or corn or raising hogs and cows. I'm up here trying to declare to you all the glorious gospel of a crucified and risen and returning Savior. And you know what that does? That puts us right where we belong, at the feet of Jesus. That woman who came into Simon's house, she came up behind Jesus. She didn't feel worthy to look at him face to face. The woman who touched the hem of his garment, she said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment." She was broken. She had this awful disease. She didn't feel worthy. But she said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment." Oh, may God help this church, this pastor, to realize how glorious he is. Amen. And that we in ourselves are vile, wretched, hell-deserving sinners. But because of one man on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago, you and I are bound for the glory world. Our life here is brief. The Bible says it's but a vapor that appeareth for a little time. It's like a tent. These bodies are like tents, and mine is beginning to sag. Some of y'all look a little worn. But God's coming back to get these bodies and glorify them and take them to heaven. And I'll tell you, I can hardly wait to get there where I can then praise Him like I would love to. Weak is the effort, the hymn says, of our efforts to praise Him. But when I see Him as He is, I'll worship Him as I ought. Are y'all looking forward to that day when you get to heaven and you don't have to deal with his flesh? You won't have to listen to a poor preacher. You'll just be right there and see him. Brother Stephen Dyer told in the funeral for Brother Jordan Smith, he said he tried to preach on the text Sunday, but we see Jesus. And Brother Jordan, during the sermon, leaned over and told one of his cousins, I see Jesus in the sermon. He saw him as the Creator. He saw him as the Savior. Can y'all see him tonight? But let me tell you, Sunday or Monday morning, about noon, Brother Jordan did see him. His spirit left that body and went immediately into glory where he saw him face to face. That's what heaven's all about. It's not going there to see relatives. It's going there to see Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, when I, by faith, look at him and then look at me, I just want to love him more. What about y'all? Anybody in the house tonight just really wants to love him more? The Bible says love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and might. We can't do that perfectly here, but I tell you, we can grow in our love. His love for us can't grow. It's perfect. But our love for him ought to be growing. And as you read your Bible and pray, and come to church and hear the word and sing the hymns, it kind of helps your love to grow, doesn't it?
Amen.
I tell you, love's a wonderful thing. When it's growing, it's a wonderful thing. I love Nelda. You know, as husbands and wives, sometimes we can take one another for granted. Anybody in the house tonight ever taken your spouse for granted? You don't have to raise your hands. But I tell you, as time goes by, you just love them more and more. And you don't look for the flaws. You don't look for the faults. You don't feel like you got to judge them, criticize them, correct them. You just love them. And that in itself helps us all to do better. Are y'all with me tonight? Are y'all tuned in? The elder brother. Bless him. He ought to have been thankful that he didn't run off and waste all he had and end up starving to death in a hog pen. He ought to have been thankful. How many of us tonight are just thankful? We got a lot more to be thankful for than we've got to complain about. If you got a problem, deal with it. But don't complain about it all day long. Just bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Thank you all for your wonderful attention.